أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين ورحمة للعالمين، وصلى الله على آله الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أوصيكم عباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله. This week is the week where we commemorated the wafat of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. And I want to talk about one example where we see that Islam has given great importance to the issue of huququn nas. Huququn nas means the rights that Allah has placed upon us, on one another. And you see the emphasis also in a symbolic way in the Quran, that wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions salat, He also mentions zakat. And we have all this debate about it. We'll leave that on the side. But if you see these two words together, they are more than, you know, just the literal or the fiqhi perspective. It is more symbolism, in a sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to, you know, give us the example that salat is the symbol of haqqullah, the right of Allah upon us, and zakat is the symbol of huququn nas, the rights that we have upon one another. And by always mentioning them together, there is a message that salvation doesn't only mean by pleasing Him. He says you have to also follow the laws that I have sent down about, you know, taking care of one another and the rights of one another. And this is something, you know, on a subconscious level, sometimes we say, okay, let's make sure we do the namaz and we do the fasting, we do the hajj. You know, but when it comes to the, how we interact with one another, that becomes a secondary issue. Whereas this is emphasized quite a lot, even when we do namaz. You know, the ruling, some of these simple rulings where some people say, you know, there's no need even to talk about it. You know, when you look at the rules about wudu, one of the conditions for validity of wudu is that the water should be mubah. Mubah means what? You're not talking about taharat and najasat here. You know, it should be a water that you have a right to use it. If you go to a place where it says, you know, this is, you know, only for those who have the membership here, in a fitness club, for example, you know, and then you say, well, you know, I'm just passing by and it's time of namaz. You go and do the wuzu there. Think about it. If that area was only for those who are members, for you to go and do wuzu there is not valid. Place of wuzu, the place where you do the namaz. You know, public areas are different things. We are all part of the public, so that's a different thing. You are in a park, you know, you are like anyone else. But when it comes to private, you know, properties, we have to make sure that we have the consent of the person who owns that. Even when we talk about the libas, you know, the dress that we have in which we are doing the namaz, if it was bought by money which came in a, you know, haram way, or where it there were some rights of others which was not paid, then it becomes a serious issue, because then even that clothing would not be considered to be mubah. So these simple rulings that we have, you know, pushes us to make sure that even the source of income, the way we earn our livelihood, should be according to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat upon the Ikbar. On the last week of his life, the prophet, you know, after there's a long conversation and narration about, you know, how he talked to his family members about the issues of how to give the ghusl and everything, which was assigned, everything was assigned to Ali bin Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wasalam. Then the prophet calls Bilal and he says, you know, announce the people together in the masjid. And once they have gathered, the prophet goes there. And he gets on the member, not feeling that well, you know, well, with the help of some relatives. And he was actually putting his weight on the bow that he was carrying just to, you know, help himself. And then he says, إِنَّ رَبِّي عَزَّ وَجَلَّ حَكَمَ وَعَقْسَمَ أَنْ لَا يَجُوزُهُ ظُلْمُ ظَالِمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually has decided and made a pledge that he is not going to ignore when injustice is done by a person to another. Then the Prophet says, and therefore I'm asking you, anyone from you, أَيُّ رَجُلٍ مِنْكُمْ كَانَتْ لَهُ قِبَلَ مُحَمَّدٍ مَظْلِمًا, if any one of you have any right on me, that maybe I, you know, was supposed to give them something, have not done it, then, you know, come and do the qisas. You know, make the deal here. If there is an issue of zulm, this is how the Prophet is putting there, come and do qisas. Qisas, which means, you know, retaliation in this dunya. فَالْقِصَاصْ فِي دَارِ الدُّنْيَا أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنَ الْقِصَاصْ فِي دَارِ الْآخِرَةِ. He said, if somebody has a right against me, it is better I settled it here. It is better for me than settling it on the day of Qiyamah, in the presence of the Anbiya and the Malaika. A person stood up, sitting at the end, Suwada bin Qais. And he says, you know, of course, look at his language. There is adab even in, you know, talking about these issues. He says, Fidaka abi wa ummi. May my parents be sacrificed for you, Ya Rasulullah. One day when in your journeys you're coming back from Ta'if, I came to welcome you like others. You were on your camel. He even describes the camel, one of the camels of the Prophet. And he said, you had a whip on your hand. You know when people ride on the horse and the camel. And he said, you lifted it. The back, when it went back, it came and hit me on my stomach. You're using it for your camel, but it hit me at the back. And so he even ends by asking this question, فَأَدْرِي فَلَا أَدْرِي عَمْدًا أَوْ خَطَعًا. He says, I don't know whether you know what you did or didn't know. And the Prophet says, مَعَذَ اللَّهَ أَنْ أَكُونَ مُتَعَمَّدْتُ. You know, nauzubillah, I wouldn't do such a thing, you know, knowingly and intentionally. This is where the Prophet calls Bilal and says, go to the house of Fatima. And the fellow who mentioned about this whip, he described it in a different way. He said, it is in the house of Fatima. Ask her to give it to you and bring it here. When it was brought, of course, you know, there's a long story, you know, Bilal goes, he was actually kind of announcing, said, oh people, come and see, you look at Rasulullah. He's saying he wants to settle his account here, not wait for the day of Qiyamah. And when he asked Bibi Fatima that your father asked for this whip, she said, but why? He's not even feeling well. And when he described this, of course, even for Fatima, that was a distressful thing. She was very worried about her father. Bilal took it, came to the masjid, and the Prophet then called that old man, said, come forward. He says, this is the whip that I used. You want to take the retaliation? This is your chance. He says, Rasulullah, I didn't have a shirt at that time. Can you raise your shirt? Rasulullah did that. Then he says, Bi abi anta wa ummi ya Rasulullah. May my parents be sacrificed for you. Do you allow me to kiss your stomach? This is what he was actually intending to do. There was no issue of qisas. And Rasulullah allowed him. So he kissed there and he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I ask you in the name of this spore of the body of Rasulullah to forgive my sins. Salawat man ikbara. And this is where, you know, we see that it ended up in a very beautiful way. But the point is that even according to Islamic laws, you know, what happened is not something where qisas would be applicable. Qisas means, you know, retaliation in kind. When you do something unknowingly and intentionally to somebody else, then the rule says that, you know, that issue, that event will be redressed by monetary compensation, not by, you know, physical retaliation in that way. But the Prophet wanted to do this just to show the importance of what is huququn nas. It is better to settle things in this dunya rather than leave it for the day of akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, give us the ability to understand the sigra and the sunnah of Rasulullah and be among the true followers of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad salawatullah ala ajma'een. إن أحسن الحديث كتاب الله العزيز بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوبة وهو الغفور الرحيم ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العطوف على العباد بجوده والعواد على المذنبين بحلمه ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه سيد المرسلين والشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة قادة الأمم وأولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة أوصيكم عباد الله بالتوبة ما سلف من ذنوبكم. Today is the first of the month of Rabi al-Awwal. We went through the month of Muharram and Safar, remembering the tragedy of Karbala. This whole process of, you know, grief and remembering tragedies, this is part of human nature. We cannot forget it. We always have to keep it in mind, because when you look at history, that is where you get the insight to know what to do as far as the future is concerned. Look at the example that we have in the secular society. You know, 11th of November is a day known as the Day of Remembrance in Canada and many, many countries around the world. It is a day where Canada and those countries basically remember the soldiers who died in the First World War. In some Western countries, and I would like to relate this to some of the symbolism that we see in the Azam of Sayyid al-Shuhada, in the Western countries, poppy is used as a way of showing, you know, the remembrance for the sacrifice of the soldiers. Think about it. What is it? What is that poppy that people, you know, buy and put on their court? It is actually a symbol, you know, the poppy is basically a flower. What has that to do with the soldiers of that time? Absolutely nothing. It was actually growing plentiful in one of the worst battlefields of that war in Europe, especially in Flanders, in Belgium. And because that was the land where many soldiers had, you know, lost their lives, and the flowers which just grew naturally, and because the color was red, it became a symbol of their sacrifice. It has nothing to do with them. They didn't carry it. It was not their, you know, insignia of their army or a division. But it has become a symbol of the Remembrance Day, especially because of the famous poem in Flanders Fields. This is where the poppies were growing, which was written actually by a Canadian physician, Lieutenant Colonel John McCree. And a professor of University of Georgia actually wrote a poem where he says, we shall remember. That's how the Remembrance Day comes in. And at that time, he was wearing this poppy from that land, remembering this poem that he had read. And this is where it became gradually, you know, common among the Western people. Sometimes we hear these questions from our people where they say, what is this alam? You know, that we have in Muharram and Safar. When they say this is a symbol of the flag, well, you know, how do we know it's exactly the kind of the flag that Hazrat Abbas was carrying on the day of Ashura? Well, the point is symbolism. Just as this poppy had nothing to do with the soldiers of the First War, absolutely nothing to do. It's not part of the story, you know. It just grew in that battlefield where they died. You know, somehow it's connected to it. So the shape doesn't necessarily mean anything. It doesn't have to be exactly the same. It has a symbolic meaning. You know, when we talk about, for example, okay, why do we put this water bag, mashk, on the alam? Well, this is a reflection of the thirst of the children of Karbala. You know, alam is a symbol of this loyalty of Hazrat Abbas. Then mashk is basically the symbol of the suffering of the children. This cradle that which is carried in the procession sometimes. Well, this is the symbol of, you know, remembering the infant child of Hussein who was killed there. You know, we can't have human, you know, forms to remember. So these are all symbolic things. We have to understand it in that way. We have to educate our people and our children in that way. Then things become meaningful and we know what it means. You know, rather than just say, oh, this is shirk and this is bid'ah and this is idol worshiping. No, come on, think about it. You know, this mihrab here, we don't worship that. The ayat of Quran written there in the mihrab, we don't worship that, although we stand right in the front of it. And so we have to, you know, if there is any confusion among some of the ignorant people who start talking to the alam, it is their ignorance which has to be corrected. Not that you cut off the whole, you know, root of the symbolism there. And this is where we have to educate ourselves. And I think, you know, the symbolism that we see around in the secular world, you know, we don't have a problem with that. We actually practice that. We don't even question. Go back into history and see it has nothing to do with the soldiers of the First World War. It's just a symbolic, you know, thing about their sacrifice. And it has this its own meaning. You know, you look at the whole, you know, the rituals that we have in Hajj. And I use this example many times. You know, in Mina, what do we do? Part of the Amal, after stoning the three pillars, which represents Shaitan, you know, so even having representation, not necessarily for worship, even for Shaitan to hit him, is okay. You know, and then what does the Haji do on that on the day of Eid al-Adha, as when we celebrate around the world? They have to do the sacrifice of a goat or a lamb. If you want to be very generous, maybe a camel. It's your choice, but it's one person per one animal. You know, sometimes we say, okay, we have five of us, let us buy one animal. It doesn't work that way. It has to be one haji, one sacrifice. That sacrifice done in Mina, what is it for? It is in remembrance of the sacrifice done by Ibrahim alayhi salam. But there was a lamb brought by Jibreel from Jannah. And Ibrahim slaughtered it. So it's not that, you know, it's the same, you know, lamb or the sheep which had children who are still continuing till now and we do the sacrifice. We get our animals from New Zealand and Australia, not from Jannah. You know, so it's not the same thing, but it has a symbolic meaning. And this is where we have to realize, as long as we understand it in a symbolic sense, things would be okay. And if there is any confusion, people need to be educated about it. And you don't, you know, shoot at the symbol itself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand the reality of, you know, the symbolism in Islam and keep us always on the right path, inshallah. اللهم صل على سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى إمام المتقين وأمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله عليه وعلى سيدة النساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها وعلى سيد الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام وعلى أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان محيا صار البدء والطغيان هادم أبنية الشرك والنفاق حاسد فر البغي والشقاق صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آباء الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام اللهم عجل الفرج وصح المخرج واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون